Good evening, one and all. Welcome to our Wednesday midweek church service on this 21st day of December, 2016. Welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording. It's good to have you in fellowship with us. Praise God for His wonderful mercies to the children of men. Praise His holy name for hearing and answering our prayers and allowing us all to come back together once again in sweet fellowship. Our opening song for tonight is Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go, never fear. Only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And praise God for giving us the grace and the strength to trust and obey. It's time for opening prayer, and so if you'll please bow your heads and your knees as we come before the throne of grace. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for hearing and answering our prayers according to thy perfect will. Thank you for making our salvation possible by sending Jesus and also the Holy Spirit to work within us an entire transformation from death to life, from sin to righteousness, from darkness to light. Father, we give you full control of tonight's meeting, and we ask that thy presence will be here. We ask that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be abiding guests, and may we indeed be refreshed from the spiritual insights and truths that are discovered in thy holy word tonight. Please continue to be with those who have heard the truth, and please give them the extra grace and spiritual eyesight to be able to see the truth and the courage to follow it regardless of the consequences. Please prevent the devil from snatching away the seeds of truth that have been planted in Africa and elsewhere. And thank you that we're a day closer to seeing this entire world lightened with your glory. Thank you for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing in our study book of Romans. We're in chapter 8, and we left off at verse 28 last time. And the last thing that we were discussing before we closed last night's meeting in Romans was dealing with the Holy Spirit being an actual person, an actual living entity, not just an essence or a detached mind of the Father, but an actual third person, a third God of the Godhead. And as the Holy Spirit is a living entity, then he can think for himself, he can act for himself. And this is exactly what Paul was dealing with here in verse 27, that he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So this verse shows that the Spirit is not God, but something apart from God. And it also shows that the Spirit is not Jesus Christ who searches the hearts, because Jesus Christ knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God the Father. So we see that there are three gods united together in order to make possible our salvation. Not three united into one, but three working together as one in order that we may be saved from death. And so the Spirit maketh intercession for us through our prayers, as Paul was talking about in verse 26. And Christ maketh intercession for us before the Father through his precious blood, merits, and righteousness. So with both Christ and the Spirit making intercession for us before God the Father, then we know that we can be saved. So we not only have just one God working for our salvation, we have three. And thus we can be saved. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now notice this verse didn't say, we know that all good things work together for good to them that love God. But it said all things. Didn't specify just the good. So then we know from this verse that all things, both good and bad, work together for our good, our benefit, because we love God. And God has called us to be saved. So since God has called each one of us to be saved, then he knows exactly what needs to happen in our lives to achieve that goal of salvation. Both good things and bad things work together for our benefit. So then if we recognize this, then is there any justification for complaining about the bad things that God allows to come our way? Comment in the room, it says, God is working all things together for good, but those who love God are best able to appreciate that fact because they love him no matter what. Amen. Amen. So if we've given our hearts to God and we're pliable in his hands, we're compliant with his wishes, then there is no justification for murmuring and complaining because of what we may be going through. There's no justification for whining about how hard our lot in life may be, or how much persecution we may be enduring, or how much trial and tribulation is affecting us. And the only way we can complain and murmur about what we're going through is if we take our eyes off of God and focus them on ourselves. That's the only way. If our eyes are focused on God and we recognize that it's out of his love for us with the goal of salvation in mind that he's allowing these things to occur in our lives, then instead of complaining, we would be praising him. Because we see that God loves us and we see that the things he's allowing us to go through is for our salvation. We need to learn the lessons through this event, through this circumstance that will lead us to eternal life. So instead of complaining, we would be praising God. And that's just the opposite of what the people of the world would be doing. They would be complaining about how hard their lot in life is. But true Christians would be praising God. And thus showing that they have a completely different experience than the worldling does. In other words, they would stand out differently than the world. And thus people would become curious to want to know why. Why are you praising God when your name is being cast out as evil? Why are you praising God when you've suffered the loss of your home in a fire? It's because our focus is upon God's love for us, and we are compliant with His will. For to me to live is Christ. Not for me to live is to complain. So we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Any comments, thoughts, questions, dear ones, before we move on to verse 29? Okay, would someone like to read verse 29 and then stop at the end of the verse to see if there's any comments, Earl? Please feel free.
For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen. Thank you. So, when the word here, predestinate, comes into play regarding God's will, and to predestinate means you know something's going to occur in the future, and so you arrange it now. So, did God predestinate, knowing who was going to be saved and who was going to be lost? Did He predestinate that you and I were going to be saved? And that's why our life has been the way it has been. Is that what this verse is talking about?
I don't think so. Or at least I would word it a different way. He does know the future, and He does know who is going to choose to follow Him. But I think the predestination is for anyone who chooses to follow Him. He will direct. He will help them become the image of His Son. But we have choices to make all along the way. Any point in time, we can choose to separate from Him. But if we're going to stay connected with Him, then we're going to be closer and closer to the image of His Son.
Amen. Amen. So when you look at this verse, it says that for whom God did foreknow. So He looks into the future and He sees all the people that are going to be born in whatever particular generation it was. The generation from Adam on, the generation from Noah on, the generation from David on, and etc. And even in these last days, this last generation, God saw the future, all the people that were going to be born. And for every generation since Adam on, God predestinated each human being to be conformed to the image of His Son. So this word predestinate here does not mean fixed beyond all change. It means that God has arranged circumstances in each generation for each human being to be able to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, there are some who take this term predestination to an extreme, And they believe that those whom God saw would be saved will follow a course of righteousness, and those whom God saw would not be saved will follow a course of wickedness, and thus it's impossible for those who are going to be saved and those who are going to be lost to change, because God predestinated their fate that way. That's not what this verse is saying at all. All that this verse is saying is that God saw each generation from Adam all the way till today, and every person born in that generation, God predestinated, He prepared for, so that they could come into connection with the truth and be conformed, be changed, be born again into the image of Jesus Christ. If they want to. So in other words, God predestinated the gift of salvation to every single human being, but He's not forcing that gift of salvation on any of us. He holds it out to us, but we have to choose to receive the gift. And after we receive it, we can give it back. We don't have to hold on to it. So God predestinated every single human being to come into connection with the truth and be saved in His Son, Jesus Christ. But it's our choice to be saved or not. It's our choice to be conformed to the image of His Son or not. But praise God for His love and merciful kindness in knowing the future, knowing exactly who's going to be born where upon the earth in any given generation, and thus taking the time to bring each human being the gift of life. And it would be wonderful if every human being accepted that gift and appreciated it and clung to it as a precious treasure. But sadly, not every human being views that gift as precious. But they can. They could if they chose to. But sadly, few there be that accept the gift. Any other thoughts on verse 29, dear ones? Okay, would someone like to read verse 30? Moreover, whom God the Father did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So whom God saw in the future would be born, He called them to be saved. He gave them that opportunity to receive that free gift in Jesus Christ. Those who receive the gift, God allows to be justified. Those whom God allows to be justified, them He also allows to be glorified. In other words, sanctified, going from glory to an increased glory, going from one stage of character development to the next stage of character development, ever coming closer to the perfect image of His Son. And praise His holy name for making every stage in this pathway of salvation possible. all because of God's love. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, if we have connected ourselves with God, then every step of the way towards salvation is freely open to us. So then it doesn't matter what things we may suffer or what things we may gain as blessings and gifts in this life. It doesn't matter. Because they all work together for good to those that love God. Those who are called according to His purpose to be saved. And that salvation is achieved by being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So if you've connected yourself with God, then not even the devil himself can keep you from becoming saved. It will only be your choice that loses salvation. So if God is on your side, everything that happens in your life from that moment on is all leading you to salvation. Something to be happy and praise God about. Something to be content with. Whatever happens, it's God's will. Praise be His holy name. Because not even the devil, even if he takes your life away, can keep you from salvation. And that is something to be joyful about. Are there any thoughts, comments, dear ones? Please feel free. So praise God, dear ones, that nothing can keep us from salvation, not even the devil, because God will make certain that everything that happens in our lives, everything that He allows to occur, will work for good, work for our salvation because of God's love for us and our love for Him. And we will indeed be growing in grace, in knowledge, and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, let us go ahead and stop at this point, and we'll pick it up at verse 32 next time. And if there's no other thoughts or comments, then we'll go ahead and open it up for season of prayer.
I just have a testimony. I'm sure some of you know that I have glaucoma, and I have, the doctor thinks, quite a bit of vision loss, peripheral vision, although he has not restricted my driving. I don't feel comfortable driving at night, and I have some glare that makes it real difficult to drive at night. Well, I had an appointment with him Monday, and I had told him that I was taking some other preparation. Originally, I was taking it in addition to the eye drops that he prescribed. But I think before the last time I went in to see him, which was, I don't know, either 3 or 6 months ago, I had quit taking the prescription eye drops, but I didn't say that. And now I had added MSM eye drops as well. Well, if I remember correctly, my eye pressures, which is the reason he was giving me the eye drops, were 16. I don't know exactly what that means. I just know the number. They had been as high as 19. And with surgeries and everything that he's done, he was only able to get it down to 16 at a static level. My eyes were not getting any worse. This time, since I added the MSM and I was only taking the MSM and the CAN-C, which was carnosine, it's a kind of an amino acid vitamin type thing, my pressures were down to 15. So, and there was no progression of the disease, no restrictions, nothing. So I praise the Lord for that. His methods work better than anything else.
Well, praise the Lord indeed. And for a medical doctor to not try to pressure you to go back on the medication that he was giving you, but to continue in what you were doing because it was working, is quite a witness to him. And Lord willing, he'll begin to take it a little more serious, what you were doing, and perhaps incorporate it in with his other patients. But that's a really gigantic step for a medical doctor to take. But a witness has been revealed to him, dear sister, and we'll definitely keep him in prayer. And amen. That is definitely also a witness for God's simple remedies. Well, dear ones, let's go ahead and open it to a season of prayer. And any who would like to begin, please feel free, and I'll close. So please go right ahead. Let us please bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in control of all things, and we thank you for looking into the future, seeing exactly who would be born and what particular generation that might be, and preparing for each individual and arranging circumstances in their lives at the proper time for them to come into connection with the truth, with the Savior, and receive that free gift of eternal life. I pray, dear Father, that as it is your will, that none be lost and all be saved, and it's our will as well, that the individuals that are worked upon by the devil and sin to reject the gift will have second thoughts and will become curious to want to know more about Jesus Christ. Please pour your Spirit upon them in a mighty way, that they will not continue in the pathway of rejection, but will instead turn about and learn more of the Savior and come to fall in love with him. Thank you, Father, for not forsaking us, but arranging the circumstances in our lives for us to come into connection with the truth as it is in Jesus. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to cling to him as the most precious treasure in our lives and not give him up for anything. We praise your holy name that the devil can't do anything to keep us from being saved. He can only harass us every step of the way if it is your will for us to grow in grace and in greater trust and hope in thee. We know it is your will, dear Father, and we also thank you for tempering and toning down the devil's attempt to prevent us from eternal life and allowing us through your grace and strength to endure and to hold fast in every time of temptation. Please help us to look to Thee and not to ourselves, especially when we're going through tribulations and trials and persecutions. And thank You for being our strong and mighty fortress that we can flee to at any time we need. Thank You that we're a day closer to heaven. Thank You for the wonderful testimony of our dear sister having her glaucoma lessened through the simple remedies. And I pray, dear Father, that You'll continue to bless her efforts and to allow her dependence on Thee to grow and increase and become stronger. And thank You for Your healing. Please also work upon the doctor's heart that he will not be able to forget that there is a different way of lessening the pressure than what he has been taught in the medical profession. We thank You, dear Father, for the meetings that have occurred in Africa and the meetings that are coming up. Please continue to work upon the hearts of those who have heard the truth and continue to work in the lives of Your messengers and people in Africa and all around the world. Thank You that we are one step closer to eternal life. And please help us not to stop, but to continue in our course in this race until we cross the finish line with Jesus Christ. Thank You for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, any songs, any other testimonies, dear ones? Please feel free. Well, a hymn comes up going along with our topic tonight. God will take care of you. And if you'd like to take a verse, please feel free. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And He will indeed, dear ones, no matter what may be the test, God is there to take care of you. All you have to do is stay with Him. Fix your attention on Christ. Don't complain, but be happy. And God will indeed deliver you. And praise His holy name. Well, dear ones, may God bless. Have a wonderful remaining half of the week. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you again on Friday evening and Sabbath. So keep looking up. And do not be dismayed or complain or fret. But remain in the loving, compassionate arms of your Father.